You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Welcome to EMG Radio. This is episode number 41, and I am your host, Randy. That seemed anticlimactic. I am your host, Randy. Anticlimactic. What isn't anticlimactic will be this episode, because this is a big episode. EMG Radio is the official podcast of the Electronic Musicians Group, which is a network of digital-based, like-minded electronic musicians and producers of all sorts of genres. Not just house. Just because I say electronic, don't think just one genre. We cover a wide spectrum. But you know what? Even that's not enough for EMG Radio. EMG Radio is hungry, and it wants more. So we actually tapped another electronic music network online. I reached out to a couple artists that I met through WetNew. That's hashtag WEATNU. We are the new underground. It's a very cool network slash label that's blowing up. So I reached out to them and said, hey, we got a radio show. You want to play some music? So that's what's going on. I got a couple of artists from there. Pure old school OG EMG artists as well. I mean, we're not neglecting them. We got some Ezra Yates. And then we're gonna this whole episode's gonna climax with a fantastic interview with Jupiter and Brian Atticus of Avant Lust. It's been years since we had Brian on the show, but this time he's got his Avant Lust partner Jupiter on, and they are going to talk about their new EP. So we're going to put that at the end of the show. I mean, it's going to be the majority of the show. It's a healthy interview. But before we get to that, let's play some of this new music for you. First up, we got Rufy. And beforehand, I want to apologize if I'm mispronouncing Rufy or even WetNew. It looks like WheatNew to me, but I believe I seen it explained on Twitter as WetNew. So, this is a guy I met through WetNew. He does a lot to help promote other musicians, not even just electronic musicians, musicians of all flavors. So I always appreciate that. And then I checked out his music, and it is solid. You're going to hear the final track on his most recent album called Tweak Your Path. The final track is Tweak Your Outro. That's right, we are beginning with the outro because that's how we roll on EMG Radio. It's a very cool mix of electronic and acoustic elements. This album, as he says on the Bandcamp page, is dedicated to all those struggling with the perils of addiction, and half of the proceeds are donated to fellowships providing support to individuals struggling with addiction. So this album is coming from a personal and good-spirited place. And then the music's awesome. So, like, when you can get something like that, a talented artist who's also trying to give back to musicians and to other people, to people struggling with life, that's always cool. So this is Tweak Your Outro by Rufy, and I'll have the link after the song.
Yeah.
That was Tweak Your Outro by Roofy. You can get that at Roofy, that's R-O-O-F-Y, roofy.bandcamp.com. Also check out roofymusic.com. That's a very cool track. It's got kind of an, I don't know if eclectic is the correct term, but eclectic collection of tones and sounds. It's definitely got like acoustic sound mixed with some very cool synthesized sounds, and then some really interesting vocals. And it all comes together and kind of hooks me, man. It's got a good hook to it. It's got a good groove. Now we are going to continue following the theme of addiction into this next song. And this is another artist I met through Wet New. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the Wet News website, weatnu.com. They have a bunch of streaming radio stations. They have like 5 or 6 24-hour-a-day streaming music stations, which is very cool. You might be able to hear some Super Science on some of those stations, or at least one of those stations. And they're also a label, so they have a bunch of cool artists signed, so you can check out their music there. And again, they promote... They are a label, but they also just promote a ton of fantastic electronic music artists. It's very cool. Anyway, this next artist I also met through Wet New. This is Shadows of Life. And according to the information that he sent over to me, Shadows of Life explores the darker sides, themes, and emotions of life through instrumental music. Most of the music is synth-driven electronic, but you'll also hear other elements not commonly associated with electronic music, like riffing guitars and soaring melodies. Which, if you listen to much EMG radio, you'll know that's kind of a theme we like to hit, because we like to think outside of the box in terms of what electronic music is. Moving forward, so the song we're going to play, and this is where the theme of addiction comes back from that first track by Roofy. This song by Shadows of Life is called Long Way Down. It's a song about addiction. He says it builds and becomes more frantic and anxious as the addiction grows. And a version of this will be released with vocals in early 2016, so I'm excited to hear that because it's a very cool track, and I definitely like to hear what kind of vocals get set to it. So, this is Long Way Down by Shadows of Life. That was Long Way Down by Shadows of Life, and that is an excellent track. It puts me in a good mindset. I really like the tone. So you can check out more Shadows of Life at Shadows of Life. Again, I'm saying L-I-F-E, Life, shadowsoflife.bandcamp.com. You can also check them out on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/shadowsoflife. He sent me a bunch of tracks to check out. That one I felt for this episode worked because it mixed with that theme of addiction, but you'll definitely be hearing more Shadows of Life on future episodes because it's good stuff. Now, we've still got that Avant Lust interview coming up, along with a couple tracks we'll play during the interview from the EP that they will be talking about. But first, last episode I promised I'd play some more recent, some newer Ezra Yates. We played a track last episode from a compilation album we put out a while back, and I said, we'll get some more Ezra Yates for you, because if you've listened to the show at all, you know Ezra Yates is a staple. So, we've got something from his most recent album, Gloaming. I think I'm pronouncing that right. If not, I apologize. It's G-L-O-A. Let me double check that. G-L-O-A-M-I-N-G. Gloaming. This came out in December, so it's still got that new album smell. It's called How Do I Live With Your Ghost? This is from Gloaming, which is up for free download on EzraYates.bandcamp.com, along with five other albums released in 2015. Five full-length albums he put out in 2015. This is How Do I Live With Your Ghost? Thank you. That was How Do I Live With Your Ghost by Ezra Yates from the album Gloaming, which you can get for free at Ezra Yates, that's EZRAYATES.bandcamp.com. Check that out. Check out all the other albums he's put out, just five alone in last year, not to mention previous years past. He's got a ton of stuff. He's a fantastic, varied artist. There's a lot of ambient, but it also goes into a whole bunch of other genres, other influences. It's very cool. You should definitely check that album out and all of his stuff. It's all good. Now we're going to bounce from one old school electronic musicians group artist to another, one of the oldest school, oldest of school, one of the original EMG artists. Brian Atticus has been in the group since the very beginning. Before the beginning, he was in the group that inspired the group, and we are going to throw it to that interview I recorded with him and Jupiter of Avant Lust. They're going to talk about their EP, The Pitch Black Limbo, where you can get it. We're going to listen to a couple tracks. It's a pretty good interview. I had a lot of fun talking to them. Black and White Forever. Pornhub is the new thing. That'll make a lot more sense after the interview. And then after it's all over, I'll come back, I'll talk you down, and we'll end the show. So here is our interview with Avant Lust. I'm joined now by Brian Atticus and Jupiter of Avant Lust. How's it going, guys?
All good.
I'm good.
And we are going to talk a little bit about the Pitch Black Limbo EP. Okay, first off, you guys make music. This is no surprise. That's why you're on the show.
Yes.
Do you want to talk a little bit about Avant Lust specifically?
Sure.
The project itself?
Yeah. Avant Lust started back in, I think it's been 2 years, right, Alma? Jupiter?
Yes, it's been 2 years.
2 long years. It feels like it's been less. But it started after we both eventually stopped working on our past projects. Jupiter was on Sons of the Pyre, which I play keyboards on. We collaborated there. And after I finish Drowning Angel is when you join in, right?
Yes, you finished Drowning Angel, and I pretty much finished with Songs on the Pyre, and that's when I actually joined in, and we decided to call ourselves Avant Lust, and we kept going from there.
Yeah, it was. We started at first as an electronic type of project. We had a lot of songs that were very industrial dancey type of way. But eventually the project evolved to a more, I don't know, it got matured, because the project started as a kind of like a continuation of what I was doing with the Drowning Angel.
And it got dark.
It got way darker and, like I said, mature. It's technically a more elaborate version of what I was working on in the past, more complete version.
Yeah, although one thing did stay the same since we started. We already had in mind that we wanted our lyrics and kind of like the tone to be slightly erotic, experimental, just different. And we've kind of kept that even on all the genres that we've actually played.
Right, yeah, there's an erotic feel in the background, no matter what type of lyrics we're writing. It's weird.
Yeah, no, I can hear that, though, too, for sure. That comes across.
Yeah, like, I've shown the songs to a few people, and they go like, oh my god, this is so erotic. I want to have sex to it. And I'm like, what? Do you know that the lyrics are very depressing? You sure you want to have sex to them? You sure?
Yeah.
It's not like our goal to make like erotic, like we go like, okay, let's make this song just completely erotic, man. No, it's technically, I don't know, it's a little bit, the lyrics are a little bit personal, you know. It's a mix of both, pretty much.
Well, and then that makes for interesting, I guess, juxtaposition. It's an interesting mood.
Yeah, yeah. I used to get, especially on Give Me a Taste, I get that a lot on my part when I start singing all low and shit. But I guess it comes with the territory of where you make trip-hop music, kind of lungy type of music.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is here, the twist here is that it's dark, you know?
Let's talk about the EP specifically. The Pitch Black Limbo. How did this EP come together? How long have you guys been working on this?
A while.
Yes, a very long while. Because it's gone through many, many changes.
Yeah.
Like, some, the lyrics for Give Me a Taste were mainly written by Atticus. And Beyond Recognition, I wrote the lyrics for that one. So we do switch the songwriter between one and the other.
Yeah.
And sometimes when Atticus comes, like, okay, I think I have it, and I tell him, no, this part doesn't sound very right. And vice versa, we agree or disagree, we keep making changes until we get the right tone.
Yeah, it's like an obsessive behavior of wanting to make everything sound better and better, knowing that you can improve. But it can eventually cripple, because it came a time where we got stuck and we kind of hit a wall. The EP was supposed to be much longer. It was supposed to be, I think, 4 to 5 songs, but eventually we had to strip it down, or else we were not gonna release anything until next year, you know. And having a project that's 2 years old with nothing out, you know. it doesn't look pretty. The funny thing also about the album is this, the EP, it at first it started as my solo album. I was working on it as I was working with Jupiter to make the first Avan Lost album, which was called Nightlife. It was completely electronic. I was working on the Pitch Black Limo, but we were working on the electronic album. And I think out of nowhere, just Jupiter came to me and said, hey, why don't we use your songs? I mean, why don't we use the concept you have around the Pitch Black Limbo and just go with that, you know?
Yeah.
It was all really just completely random. It wasn't all planned, you know, just grab the electronic album and release this thing, you know. It was really random, really.
Is it just the two of you guys in Avant Lust, or is there
no
a third?
Yeah, there was a third. Now we're back to just being the two of us.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, four technically. There was our good friend Bam, who he joined in. So me and Bam met back in sound school, and we seemed to have the same taste on trip hop, and we seemed to geek a lot on music and all that shit. So I decided to invite him in so he could help me with post production and stuff. And there's Nelson, which he did all the guitar playing, but he's just a collaborator. But we were eventually a band, but Bam had to leave to the States. So it's just now the two of us, and we're gonna see where we go from here now.
Okay, that's kind of what I wanted to ask about was, you guys talked about switching off back and forth for like some of the songwriting stuff.
Yeah.
So how do you guys work together? Like, how do the songs come together? Like, I guess talk about your process a little bit as a duo, or in some cases when you have other members working with you.
Okay, the other members of our band were, for example, guitarists and stuff like that. Atticus and I mainly focused on, I write songs. I guess I'm the main lyricist of the two.
Yes.
And main vocals also. Atticus kind of makes everything. He puts everything together. He also mixes up and makes the music and everything.
Okay.
Usually, he obsesses more about how it's sounding, and he gets carried away. So I need to step in and sometimes tell him, like, no, you need to stop. This noise here doesn't sound right.
The voice of reason.
So I kind of step in and I'm like, no, that doesn't sound right. Take that off. But mainly, I'm the one that mainly writes the lyrics for the songs. And sometimes even I don't feel good with some of the tones that I do with my vocals. So we do re-record a lot of things.
Yeah,
until it sounds better.
It eventually starts that we both have some musical ideas. Maybe Jupiter has some lyrics and I just have this weird demo of whatever abstract shit I come up with. And she just comes in, she records the vocals, and we build it up from there. It's like hip-hop. You know, the hip-hop artists, when they don't just grab an electric guitar and start composing, you know, they have a beat and they start building up from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the process here. The song and instrumental demo that I have will never be the same thing when I add vocals. It eventually ends up being a 60 to 80 channel monster. So
it changes.
It changes a lot. Jupiter eventually gets mad because I keep bringing different versions every time or different remixes. If you ever ask yourself, like, damn, why does Atticus take so long to release music? It's for that same reason. I keep...
He does, like, 660 freaking six different mixes of the songs.
I was going to ask, how many different versions of Give Me a Taste are there? Because looking at your SoundCloud, you originally posted that track at least 8 months ago.
Yeah, yeah. There's the first version that I redubbed at a demo. That was the version I released as Atticus Veneer, the old name I was using. Then there's the EP version, the album version, the single version that has a guitar. It's more guitar driven. There's two versions, the demo and the EP one, and the other bunch of remixes.
Sure, yeah.
But I eventually had to let the song go. we stopped milking the single, so we want to move on now.
Yeah.
Because we milked the single pretty good.
Hey, if you can milk a single for a year, that's pretty good, man.
Yeah, almost 2 years if you count when
Oh yeah.
in 2014, but it's just the song got better with the guitars and the little bit of remixing I did. I just had to release it again, repackage it.
Yes, when Bam came in and everything, he loved the song and it kept changing.
Yeah. The good thing with Bam, he technically has the same taste as I do. We geek a lot on Sneaker Pimps, so he was definitely down with the project. We're working on a music video for it. We started in July. We went through some delays, as usual. But we plan to have it finished maybe by, I don't know, March. I'm trying not to say any specific dates.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, knowing the nature of things. But in between, we're working on the music video. It will eventually come out, hopefully.
Oh, yeah, and you're producing it yourself then, I'm assuming?
Yeah. The both of us. I'm directing and she's editing.
Exciting.
Yeah, so it's a very collaborative project.
You have a very specific style of imagery with the photos that you guys use.
Yeah,
it's got that particular the black and white and kind of low contrast on a lot of them. Some of them are kind of high contrast, but I like the imagery. that you guys have.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
It's just, for some reason, especially with the song Give Me a Taste, every time we heard the type of music that we were doing, especially for the EP, it seemed right for the pictures of the photo shoots to be black and white, for them to be grayscaled and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it also made even sharper the fact that it's kind of dark, but at the same time kind of erotic. And it just really felt right to be that way. Now, we don't I don't think we intend to forever stay dark.
Yeah, because we...
Because we've gone through several changes, especially myself. I cut my hair, so I no longer look exactly like in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So probably next photo shoot will be slightly different. Yeah. But for the EP, you seem right for everything to be grayscaled.
Yeah, black and white forever.
I like how that conversation went. Yeah, we're gonna change, you know, it won't always be dark, and then Brian, black and white forever.
It's just, I went through a phase where I wanted everything to look black and white, because I think by that time I was getting into David Lynch. Have you seen his movie Eraserhead?
Oh yeah.
A lot of Avan Lutz photography or imagery, it's kind of influenced at a certain way with Eraserhead.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that, particularly like with the settings where you guys are shooting and stuff.
Yeah, the famous abandoned hospital, which we got kicked off trying to film a music video with no permission.
We almost got banned from the place.
Yeah, because we got inside the hospital, and because we're allowed to be outside the hospital, but not to get inside. So we got inside, and yeah, it was funny. We got kicked out.
Oh man, that's guerrilla filmmaking.
Yeah, man. Because when you try to, here in Puerto Rico, if you want to get permissions to use a government regulated place, it's horrible. You end up waiting maybe months for a permission. So I just said, fuck it, let's just try to do stuff guerrilla style like James Cameron back in Terminator 1. If he did it, why can I not, you know? But it didn't work.
Oh my god, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Freaking dog found us.
Yeah.
A dog?
Yeah,
this, the dog from the security guard found us. Because the place is huge. We heard the dog, and the dog found us. And then the guards were like, no, you can't be in here. You need to get out.
Not?
Do you want to talk a little bit about Beyond Recognition?
Oh, yes.
The lyrics, that's all, Jupiter.
Yeah. The lyrics were slightly different at the beginning and were actually much longer, but when we started actually recording the vocals for the song, which I was the one that wrote it, we felt that it would be right to shorten the lyrics and have more instruments playing in the background than actually having the vocals go all the way from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And the song turned out far more erotic than we thought it would. And the feedback on it has been insanely crazy. Like, everybody that has listened to this song so far, they all say the same thing. Like, this is porn music right here.
Yeah, every time... Every fucking and not just her friends, the people I showed it to, they also say the same thing, and I'm like, what?
It changed apparently too much, because the song, it sounds kind of vampire-ish, like this whole thing about press upon my beating heart and everything like that. Yeah. And for some reason, people think it's hot. So, whatever. You think it's hot? That makes you happy? Great. Gets you aroused? Great, too.
So, people, if you ever have sex to our music, feel free to make a form and stuff. Appreciate it.
You need to think of a hashtag or something somebody can tag you guys with when when that's happening,
like
or after it's happening.
That's a good way to market the band. Like, if you ever have sex and you're listening to us, like, have a hashtag: Avant Wild Sex or Avant Treason. I don't know.
Beyond hashtag Beyond Reason.
Snap a pic.
Send it to avanlust.gmail.com. Press upon my beating heart, crush it beyond recognition, slay it and it's a
What's coming up this year? What do you guys got planned?
Well, we are planning on getting off the darkness. Although Atticus says black. Although Atticus thinks that we should stay dark forever.
Black and white forever.
So, I will try to talk Atticus into us not being so dark anymore. But we do plan on keeping the erotic thing in it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're not planning on new music right now. We want to move from the whole, you know, dark imagery and shit. Because it evolved. But right now what we have planned is just finish the music video. We were planning to record a live performance.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, like, since we're not going to play live for a while, we want to, like, showcase ourselves playing live. So, right now, we just want to promote, you know. This EP took so long to release, you know. I don't even want to think about going into another, you know.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Body of work for a while, you know. I'm saying this right now, and I'll probably call Ama, telling her that I have a new song, but yeah.
What's the best way for people to get this EP? Like, where should they go?
It's everywhere. No,
literally,
you can go to Bandcamp, or you can go to our website, www.avanlost.com. You can get it from there, and you can stream it via YouTube if you're the cool kids who don't download shit anymore because it takes space on your computer.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's
everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere except the mainstream streaming platforms, Spotify and all that shit.
Gotcha. It's all the cool places.
It's on the cool abstract places because we don't want to become famous, you know? We want to be an abstract black and white band forever.
You're black and white. Spotify is too colorful. It's too mainstream.
It doesn't represent our music, man.
I think SoundCloud is far more colorful, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Although, maybe if Pornhub had a streaming platform, since our music is so erotic, maybe we can upload it there, but I don't know.
Hey, if you uploaded it to YouTube, you could put it up on there.
And put all those weird hashtags, those porn.
Exactly. If that's the angle you want to push, man, that's the place to do it.
Yeah. Our demographic isn't Pornhub waiting for us.
Oh, Atticus, this reminds me of a little inside joke about Atticus wanting to be a porn director forever.
Oh my god, yeah.
That would seem right.
I'll do like experimental David Lynch type films, but in porn.
I was going to say, that'd be the darkest porn. Well, I guess it's got to be pretty dark to be the darkest porn, but black and white and porn forever.
Forever, man. Black and white, yeah. No, but we'll eventually move to more colorful stuff. Maybe we'll probably release a Christian album.
Yeah?
Fuck no. No.
Call it a rising angel, you know. Spectre.
Oh, no.
Nah,
not that colorful.
Yeah, we'll probably write pop songs about loving people and going to parties and falling in love.
Yeah, at the club.
At the club. Falling in love at the club.
See, oh, you've got it already. That's a hit, if I ever
heard
one.
That's it right there. It's going to be called, I don't know, Give Me a Kiss.
Falling in love at the club.
Club love.
Club love, or Give Me a Taste with your club love, or I don't know.
It's just Give Me a Taste with different lyrics.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Oh, by the way, I was talking with Bam today, and he told me something like that. He told me, like, hey, I showed Give Me a Taste to my colleagues, and they really liked it. I think you should cash in on the whole Give Me a Taste sound and expand it. So I think... No, yeah, no.
I'll murder you.
It could be Give Me a Smell and Give Me a Listen.
Oh, shut up, man.
Somewhere around the 800th version, you'll get it right.
I'll get it right. I'll.
So what it sounds like is the whole thing of like knowing when you're done with a track. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it sounds like you just need to cut yourself off of a track at a certain point.
Yeah, that's how pretty much I ended. I say, I can't do this anymore. There's nothing else I can add to it. What else can I add? And I just let it go.
Which is, it's not always the easiest thing, for sure.
Yeah, it's just, since I came from making a lot of mistakes back in the Drowning Angel, I'm how do I put this? I've obsessed over the most stupidest things that I don't, you know, want to release bad music. And the second problem is when you're making this type of music on a low budget, you know, we're not recording on a professional recording studio, mm-hmm, or anything like it. The only way you can make it sound good if it's just you dedicate a lot of hours to it. So since we're not in a, that's, I think that's one of the whole reasons it takes, this EP took a lot of time also, because I had to make like a lot of mistakes to eventually get the sound I wanted. And when you're self-producing, it could eventually, you know, it's a loop.
What have you guys been enjoying? Like, is there anything you guys have been listening to a lot lately? Anything you've been enjoying particularly?
Well, I've been really hooked on Baby Metal.
Baby Metal?
Our next album's going to be Baby Metal.
What's Baby Metal?
It's a Japanese band.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's a really young girl's singing metal.
Oh.
About chocolate.
I think I have heard something about that.
Yeah, you've probably seen memes around. They're really famous around the internet.
Okay, okay.
So it was something I was trying not to listen for a really long while, and then I ended up listening to it, and I liked it.
Yeah, is it good then? I've never checked it out, but I do recall hearing about it.
It's actually better than I thought. Way better than I thought. So I do recommend it. It's crazy. You hear really high-pitched, girly voices, and you hear the music in the background, and it's really hardcore. So it's pretty crazy.
I've been listening to a lot of synth music lately. I've been like getting back to like the synth roots. So a lot of ambient music, as usual. And electronica, I guess. I've been getting a lot into shoegaze also, but mostly synth ambient driven music. I'm trying to listen to new music so I can like grab new influences for the next thing.
What are some of the bigger influences on the sound of Avant Lust?
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah?
No, what makes you think that?
You hide all your bass and posters.
It's a mix. It's a mix, really. It's a mix between the trip hop I've been listening to all these years, Massive Attack, Nin, obviously. But I always try not to sound like. I mean, Nin is a big influence, but I always try to stay away from sounding like Nine Inch Nails, you know. But it's technically one of the biggest influences, and Portishead also. Portishead, Massive Attack.
Yes, Combi Cries, all the industrials.
Yeah, industrial also. But mostly post-industrial, because I kind of hate the whole industrial thing, because it feels really outdated nowadays.
Mm. How dare you!
No, I mean the whole industrial rock vibe, for me at least, it feels very outdated. It feels like a weaker imitation of Nine Inch Nails. You know, since Nine Inch Nails is like the pioneer of the genre.
Get off this call, man. Get off. Right now.
So, yeah. But it's a big box of influences eventually. But it's very ambient driven. That's pretty much the base of the whole, the structure of the songs of Avon Lost. It's all very ambient. Mm-hmm. And in top of that, we bring on other influences. We actually had a Nine Inch Nails cover that didn't make it to the EP.
Yes, Hurt.
Hurt.
Where did but that I think go?
It's in the depths of hell, but eventually, you know. No, it's just the rights to release a song legally were very expensive. I mean, even if I paid half of the price, I would eventually have to buy the rights again.
Yeah, that's definitely an issue with covers. I've noticed a lot of people just ignore it, or they will just like release it free, but that doesn't really get you around anything. Like,
no, it doesn't. It doesn't. That's
definitely something that's held me back from doing anything like that.
Yeah, I guess you need to have a budget to buy the, at least, I don't know, work with a label or save the money to buy it. Because eventually, for example, we released the song and it became a hit, you know? Mm-hmm. We would eventually have to split the money or whatever it is left of the royalties with the label, Interscope or whatever. It's the label that has the rights to Hurt.
And it's complicated because a good example is, like, because I've looked at doing that a couple times, but, like, if you could pay a company or whatever to release it, say, through some of the streaming sites. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't cover if you want to sell downloads on Bandcamp. That's like a separate, like, you have to pay for that separately.
Yeah,
it just becomes real complicated quick.
Yeah, it's very tedious. I thought it was just easy, just buy the rights and, you know, release it all you want. But you need to buy the how many downloads?
Yeah, that's the worst part.
It's very hard, and I didn't see that coming when I was recording the song. It was when I finished that I started looking into buying the rights. And I said nope.
Yeah, I mean,
way off the budget.
I might give it a try sometime, but again, it's something like I don't know. I wouldn't want to have to. I couldn't afford or keep track of. Especially with the way we release music, like you guys said, like the Pitch Black Limbo EP, you can get it just about everywhere, mm-hmm. and so you'd have to worry about keeping track of each individual places. Like when you release music, the way a lot of us do, where it's on SoundCloud, it's on Bandcamp, it's on wherever, all these YouTube, like mm-hmm. it's too much of a hassle for. You know, a smaller group to keep track of all that.
Yeah, especially when you're starting, it's really hard to just have an album and release it into the internet because everybody, I don't know, you need to market yourself beyond just releasing, putting stuff in the internet.
So that's something that's kind of interesting to me is you were talking about, you know, you kind of want to promote this for a little while, promote this EP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are some of the ways you've kind of been going about that, and what do you have you found anything that's been particularly effective in promoting?
I think the Facebook boosting has worked at a certain degree, because right now, for example, if we post something without paying, it won't reach the people that liked our page. Mm. So. Yeah, I think the most effective right now, at least, is the Facebook ads thing, since that's where we're most marketing the project. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about it. Because if you have a website, also, it's not gonna find itself, you know, by itself. Mm-hmm. I think ads are a good way to promote the band, but it's pretty annoying also knowing that maybe 5 years ago you didn't need to pay Facebook money to just simply let the people, you know, see your post.
Oh yeah, they've definitely exactly. Yeah. They crippled pages so that they could, you know, monetize it.
Yeah, cuz for example, maybe you're a 2-year band, you work your ass off getting all those likes on the internet, not even playing live. So after you work your ass off getting those fans, you need to pay more? What?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I mean, I could see Facebook looking for ways to try to get revenue off the artist, but if you compare it to Twitter, you don't need to pay Twitter, you know?
Oh, yeah. I personally, since, like, I made a big push on that last album, that last Super Science album I released, I've been loving Twitter. And Twitter, like, I kind of feel bad for ignoring the Facebook page, but Twitter's really where I spend a lot of my promotion time.
Yeah, because I think people on Twitter consume more. I don't know. I don't know how Twitter works, but I don't know. I think people on Twitter are more engaged.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, kind of. I think Twitter makes it easier to engage, even if it's as simple as like a retweet. But that is incredibly useful because then that's somebody taking your original tweet and being like, and showing it to all of their followers. So I think it makes it easier to engage. It's kind of a tricky balance between like promoting stuff and being spammy. But Twitter I've been enjoying, and even SoundCloud to a point. Like if you join like groups on SoundCloud and occasionally, again, you don't want to be spammy, but occasionally submitting, you can add your tracks to groups. That I found is very helpful too for just kind of spreading it around and getting more people to check it out, you know?
Yeah, definitely. But SoundCloud is also kind of fucking everyone over.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've been thinking a lot about the whole music landscape, and it's pretty hard. Just, you know, all the time you spend recording music, and on top of that, you had to spend a lot more time promoting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mixture. I mean, I think half the time you spend more time promoting music than actually making music.
Oh, I would say, I mean, if you're actively, because, you know, you know how, like, you see a lot of other musicians online. Not everybody makes the effort. If you're actively promoting, I think you definitely do spend almost as much, if not more, time promoting. But I don't know. I guess it just kind of depends on what you're looking to do, I suppose.
Yeah, and if you're looking to get a fan base, you need to have like a plan. Actually, it's really hard these days. It's just simply put something out there and it'll eventually lead to something. You need to do a lot of pre-planning, at least.
And I think it's kind of important to do that too, because I mean. Because I hate to see, like, there's certain guys, even in the EMG group, that make amazing music, but they're like, well, I just make music for me, I don't need to promote it. And that's fine, but, like, I want to see more people listen to it, because it's fantastic music. So I kind of wish they would promote themselves a little more.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's a weird game to play. I hate having to share my stuff on my, at least on my personal Facebook page, because it...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It eventually feels like spamming your friends, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I very rarely post like, my promotional type stuff on my Facebook page. And if I do, I feel bad. I'm like, you guys don't have to check this out. I'm just going to put this here, though.
This thing I spend hours doing...
I mean, but you do, like, at least what it does feel shameful, because you know, at least on your personal page, a lot of times people aren't on there because of that. They're on there because they went to school with you 40,000 years ago, you know.
Yeah, hey, stuff. This guy's making music.
Yeah, so, but that's you also. See, go ahead.
That's where the Facebook fucking comes in, because if you didn't have to pay on your page, you know, to promote your stuff, you wouldn't have any need to go to your personal profile and share your stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's interesting, and we've talked about it on past episodes a lot, about just, like, putting music out there and making music, you know, with the, like, where the main place it goes is the internet.
Yeah.
But it's a strange, like, landscape. It's a strange thing to deal with, because there's so many other people also doing the same thing.
Yeah, I was one of when we were recording Avon Lust, one of the things I was stressing about was what are we gonna do after we just make the songs, you know? Mm-hmm. We're just gonna put them out there and that's it. You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Having a promotional plan becomes a part of having a band. Mm-hmm. If you're, I don't know, at least want to get a fan base or something, you know.
And I guess everybody's got their own thing, because maybe, you know, for a lot of people, just doing the music is enough. And they'll put it there, and if somebody finds it, that's fine for them. But, like, I don't know. I just made music for a long time, and eventually I was like, I kind of want people to hear this.
So, yeah, yeah. I think that's how we all started.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, bro, check out my SoundCloud. Check out my mixtape.
But that's why I have, like, 5 Twitter accounts and a bunch of Facebook pages, so I can unabashedly promote different things on different pages without feeling too bad.
Yeah.
Like, even on this show, last episode I played one of my songs, and I talked about it a little bit. But even then, I feel kind of bad, because even though this is the place for that kind of music, I feel like I'm self-promoting too much, and it's like, I don't want to abuse this forum as a, you know, this, I don't want to abuse...
Yeah, it's a way to, yeah, promote your stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't mind doing it to promote other people's stuff, but when I do it for my own stuff, it feels wrong, feels dirty.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons I think eventually we want to go live would be probably just to promote ourselves outside of the internet, because mm-hmm. that's something a band eventually has to do if you want to at least move around, you know. But it also depends on the landscape, depending on what place you are and stuff. Here in Puerto Rico, we don't have much to go for, so we eventually end up relying more on the internet.
Well, where would you like to direct people? So avantlust.com, you're on SoundCloud. I've been, for whatever reason, staring at your SoundCloud page this whole time. It's soundcloud.com/avant, A-V-A-N-T, dash, lust.
Yeah, Avantlust. You can find us pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere you want
to
be.
Either go to the website, the Facebook page, SoundCloud, Bandcamp, whichever one.
And I'll have links in the show notes. Wherever the listener happens to find this episode, there's probably links.
Mm-hmm.
So what else, guys? Is there anything else you guys want to touch on?
Jupiter, Ama?
Not really at the moment. I'm just writing more lyrics for whatever comes.
Whatever Atticus has ready in his big bunch of songs, he hasn't finished yet.
So how many tracks almost make the album and then get cut?
A lot.
Do you have like a full album's worth of tracks that didn't make the EP cut?
Well, on the EP, no. But on the other album, I think we had like 9 tracks. There were a bunch.
Was that Nightlife?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Nightlife, yeah. The album Nightlife. I think I gave you a track to release on the EMG. It was called Cut.
Uh-huh, okay.
That was one of the songs. We had Long Way Home also. Yeah, it was very commercial sounding also.
Yes, Taste of Youth especially.
Yeah, Taste of Youth. It was something new. I liked it, the way it was sounding, because it was something I didn't try before. Like a little bit more accessible type of electronic music. But yeah, on the Pitch Black Limbo, I think 2 tracks got cut. One of them was Nostalgia La Droga, which uh-huh. I eventually end up releasing as a solo song. But not much, because we didn't write a lot of tracks for the Pitch Black Limbo. But for the other album, yeah, we have some material to get back to.
Interesting. Yeah, I was just curious because I remember you mentioning, or because you mentioned nightlife and all that. So I was like, is that a whole album that?
Yeah, literally. Got the cut? A whole album. Yeah, it was kind of like a concept album. We were aiming to sound very dancey. So uh-huh. we even played, right? I think like two shows.
Yes.
Two shows, yeah. We played two shows with that sound and the whole vibe to it, and people interact with it. So,
how was that playing live? What was your guys' lives lineup like?
It was just the two of us. I did what I did back in with A Drowning Angel when I played live. It was just me and the keyboards and the computer. Mm-hmm. So that's. Since I didn't have any bandmates, you know, they were synth players or whatever, I just decided, hey, let's just do it the both of us. You know, if Skrillex can play, you know, why can't we?
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. It eventually felt pretty, for me at least, playing electronic live, I didn't like it so much because I wasn't really playing anything.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So I didn't like the whole idea of, you know, just being behind a computer and putting my hands up. Jupiter, do you remember that last time we played?
Don't.
All right.
Oh my gosh, no. That was horrible.
This sounds like a good story.
Well.
It was so bad.
Our last show was pretty horrible.
The sound on the place was bad. People could barely hear me. And Atticus decided to relax himself with drinking because it was on a bar. And he got so messed up that he fell on the stage. Everybody thought he freaking broke a bone or something because it looked like
he was... too.
And I was so freaking mad, and it was just really bad.
It was horrible.
Wow, it sounds amazing though.
It's extremely funny now that it's been a year. But it was literally a very bad impression to the people that were there.
Oh, sure, sure.
I was really upset. I wanted to strangle Atticus, but I wasn't sure he'd remember the next day, so I wanted to make sure he would. So I didn't do it. But it was... It was horrible because the sound was bad. Then everything escalated really quickly, and we ended up wrapping the show pretty early.
We didn't even finish the songs, I think, right?
We didn't finish one of the songs.
Yeah, everything—it's literally like starting over again. So when we play live again, it's like we're gonna be reintroducing ourselves as
sure.
You know, and there's a new rule now that I can't drink before playing live. That's a new one. Back then, I had this mentality where if I played a little bit, you know, drunk, I would eventually lose the stage fright.
Oh, sure, sure.
But that wasn't the case back in that show.
Yeah, sometimes you can get too relaxed.
Too relaxed. Too relaxed. I mean, yeah. I don't know how, you know, all these guys, Marilyn Manson and Trent Reznor and all those people who used to like get on stage really fucked up do it. I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah, and to do it like as often as they would, like a big touring rock band.
Like a big touring drug party. Yeah,
that kind of schedule. And there's a reason a lot of rock stars don't make it to a very old age.
And if they do, they really suck because all the alcohol and drug abuse.
a lot of the old rockers, they look like they've been through some shit, because they have.
Yeah. So yeah, don't drink and play, kids. Well, you'll end up like your Uncle Atticus on the floor and think he's broke his leg, but not really. He's just really drunk.
Wow.
Yeah, I couldn't even show my face at the venue after that show. I was even scared to even ask for another show. And on top of that,
oh no, we're not playing there again ever.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Black and white.
Yeah, I mean, people don't even probably remember us, and you know, but still.
Anything else you guys wanted to promote? Anything outside of Avant Lust or anything else?
Well, Amaris has her projects, Jupiter, right? We'll have our psych projects.
Yes. I mean, to stay tuned for the release of the actual music video.
Yeah, cool. I'm excited to see that.
Yes. Yeah. We're excited to finally finish it also. It's going to be a huge load off our backs.
Thanks for joining me today, guys. I appreciate it.
It was a pleasure. Woo! Sure thing.
Everybody should go check out the Pitch Black Limbo EP. It's everywhere, and it's black and white.
Everywhere.
Black and white forever.
Hey, I'm back. It's Randy. The interview's over. I want to thank Avant Lust again for recording that interview with me. Definitely check out their EP. It's very cool, as you've heard. And that's it for this episode of EMG Radio. Now, you may have noticed while I'm talking, I didn't do it in the interview, but I've been layering some music my talky bits, my rambly bits. What'd you guys think of that? And in case you groove on that music, that's super science music. All the tracks tonight layered under my talking is from the album Blood by Super Science, which is me. It's kind of you could say it's a weird, subliminally shady way to put my music out there. Speaking of subliminal, hopefully soon I will be releasing a collaboration EP with Subliminal Hit. Check that out. Follow me on Twitter at SuperScience80s, that's 80s. Or Randall Sylvia for my personal account. Follow EMG Radio and Electronic Musicians Group on Twitter at EMG Artists. Check us out on Facebook. Hey, if you're an electronic musician or producer, you want to join an upper group, see what kind of random bullshit we talk about, it's facebook.com/groups/electronic musicians group. I don't know. Search group for electronic musicians group. We're in there somewhere. Also, facebook.com/electronic musicians group for our main Facebook page. Like it. Check it out. We post all kinds of releases when artists put out new albums, and then links to episodes like this. You can listen to this on iTunes, Stitcher. If you can rate and review on these services, please do, because it helps other listeners find our show, find the music that we're playing, find these artists, because they're all fantastic, and they need your love. They want it. And I want to thank all the musicians that allowed me to play their music tonight. All the music we play is with the permission from the musicians, submitted by the musicians. So a big thank you to all of them. Avant Lust, Rufy, Ezra Yates, Shadows of Life. Thanks to them. I also want to give a shout out again to Wetnu, WEATNU.com. Follow them on Twitter at Wet. It's what you would expect. It's cool to come across another organization providing, you could say, a safe haven for us electronic musicians, us indie types. Definitely very cool. And that's it. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next month. Thank you for listening to EMG Radio. EMG Radio is an electronic media collective production for the Electronic Musicians Group. It is a license under Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, no derivatives, 3.0, not ported license. All music contained within the EMG Radio podcast is property of the respective owner, subject to the respective copyrights and or licensing, and used here with permission. For more EMG Radio, visit EMGRadio.com. Check out more Electronic Musicians Group. Go to facebook.com/electronicmusiciansgroup or hit us up on Twitter at twitter.com/EMGArtists.
The Pitch Black Limbo.
The Pitch Black Limbo. Pornhub. Pornhub. And it'll just loop.
Black and white.
Forever.